Andy, you know Joe Caffrey, don't you?
I do indeed. I know Joe from the old days from looking at giant hogweed. But he sent me a book the other day called Aquatic Plants in Ireland, a photographic guide. All 580 pages of it. I've been reading nothing else since. And it's absolutely great because it isn't just the plants, the higher plants, the ones with flowers on them. They're all there, of course. But he has also got underwater mosses and he has all the liverworts and he has the stoneworts. Now, the stoneworts are amazing things because they're actually algae with lumps of calcium in them. So they feel crystally in your hands, and they grow in Loch Carron, places like that. And to have a guide to these and photographs of them and talk about them is wonderful. And then, of course, all the invasive species with which our lakes are filled. He has those there as well, too, and, you know, telling us whether they're goodies or baddies. It's a great book, and there's been nothing like it before. So Joe is to be commended for getting it out.
Absolutely is. I haven't seen him for ages. But Terry Flanagan, you were out with him the other day.
You're dead right. And I haven't seen him in a long time. He told me he's been busy writing a new book. And get this, Derek, it has taken him 14 years,
oh
not
goodness.
14 weeks, 14 months, 14 years to complete this book. The book is called Aquatic Plants in Ireland, A Photographic History. And he's a co-author along with Ronan Mason and Rossa O'Brien. And I must say, I never realised how many aquatic plants there were. Not only are there different habitats along a river or a canal, you can get, you know, the terrestrial habitat, you can get the marginal habitat, the aquatic habitat, but plants can also grow on the surface of the water or on the substratum. Anyway, the book details all the plants with fantastic photos and lots of interesting stories to go with them. So recently I met Joe and we took a stroll along the banks of the Talca River.
You want to mind yourself there, it's sleepy beside the river.
It's certainly yeah. very wet at the moment too,
it
isn't
is, it? It is, unfortunately, yeah, it's been a very wet period now, but hopefully it's going to get dry. Spring is on the way.
So we're here on the Talca River in Dublin.
Yeah, the Talca, as you can see, is flowing very, very briskly now, all the way from Mulhuddard right out to the sea. It has a significant brown colour in it at the moment because of all the rain.
Yeah, is that good or bad?
Well, it's good because it's flushing. You know, needless to say, unfortunately, there are unsavoury elements getting into it. But it's being flushed the whole time. And certainly the quality has improved significantly in recent years.
Well, that's good news. And I see you have your new book with you. It's not just a book, it's a Bible.
Yeah. Thanks be to God, it's finished.
Yeah. Just to give people an idea of what it is, it's Aquatic Plants in Ireland, a photographic guide. And I can't believe that there are so many aquatic plants in the country.
I might have agreed with you 14 years ago.
Yeah.
When we started this, the plan was to do a manual for fisheries scientists to help those who weren't specialists to identify aquatic plants in watercourses. And my plan was to do 30 or 40 of the most common plants, knowing I'd be probably leaving out another 30 or 40.
Right.
Little did I realise that when I'd finished the book, we would have over 400 species.
400? My God.
Yeah.
I had no idea there were so many plants. In fact, when I've gone through the book, one thing I've noticed is the number of varieties of plants. So if I take something like pondweed or sedge, mm-hmm. there's loads of different species.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's lots of different species of a lot of different plant groups. Yeah. Pondweeds would be a case in point. And there are books that are devoted specifically to pondweeds.
Yeah.
So while I have a subset of that group, I would maybe have, I'm not certain, I could have 15, maybe even 20 pondweeds in the book. There could well be 100 yeah. of them.
Most people in Ireland, when they think of pondweed, they think back to their school days and they think of Canadian pondweed. And I remember it myself, getting down into the canal and plucking some of this plant and bringing it back into the classroom to do some work. But I didn't realise there were so many other species.
Yes, yeah, lots of other species. And some species that look very, very similar to the Canadian pondweed. Canadian pondweed was brought into Ireland perhaps 200 years ago and was invasive at that time. It has naturalised now. But there is another species very, very similar to Canadian pondweed called Nuttall's pondweed. The two look almost identical. But this Nuttall's pondweed, it's now in the country maybe 30 years, but it's spreading like wildfire and it's highly invasive.
You say it's highly invasive. Is it dangerous?
It is dangerous to biodiversity. It has the capacity to grow much more rapidly than the native plants, including the Canadian pondweed that has naturalised. And what it does is it actually grows over these plants. So it blocks light from them.
Right.
And effectively, competitively excludes them from the habitat.
Yeah, you include a lot of invasive species in the book. When I think of the invasive species, I think of maybe the giant hogweed and the Himalayan balsam. But you've gone into this in depth and there are lots more.
Unfortunately, Terry, there are a lot more invasive species in the country and they're continuing to come in the whole time. They're coming in, they're brought in unintentionally in most cases, but they're still getting in.
And like garden centres, I'm sure, is it?
Garden centres would be a significant vector for them. Right. But also anglers coming in from other countries, they can bring spores on their nets.
Okay, right. I presume in barges and the likes of that too.
Specifically, yes. Yeah. A number of the invasive species that are currently invading lakes like Lough Derg, Lough Ree, have come in on cruisers. They've come in on boat traffic.
Mm. If I go back to the idea of the numbers of plants, like over 400, it's a huge number. But really, when you think about it, you've got lots of different kind of microhabitats because you have the terrestrial, the land beside the river or the canal. You have then the kind of marginal region. Then you have the water itself. So I can understand now how there can be so many.
A specific design of the book was to identify plant groups in relation to the habitats they occupy. So basically you've four main habitats in or near our rivers, canals or lakes. You've got riparian habitats. So these are habitats that are out of the water. The plant's roots, or feet as we would often call them, they're out of the water. So they're up the bank of a river. We're looking here at the River Talca. We're standing in the riparian zone because we don't want our feet wet. The plants around us are riparian plants. As we move down towards the river, we come in contact with the marginal plants. These are plants that generally have their roots in the water. Mm-hmm. And then moving farther out into the water, then we're in the aquatic zone.
And even within the aquatic zone, you've some plants like the likes of duckweed that you'll only find floating on the top. And you'll have your other... Let's go back to the pondweed, which is attached to the substratum.
That's right. And again, within the book, we have plant groups subdivided within the aquatic zone into floating-leaved plants. They're actually rooted in the bottom, but their leaves float on the surface. Free-floating plants, such as your duckweeds. And then we have the submerged plants.
While I was looking through the book, I came across a number of plants that I had never heard of. There was one particular plant, gypsywort.
The gypsywort, yes, yeah. Lycopus. Sorry, that's the Latin name for it.
Yeah, now I know the wort comes from the old, I think, English name, and it means plant. But when I think of the worts, I think of plants like liverwort and nipplewort and bladderwort. These would have been plants that years ago people would have thought that they looked a bit like that part of the body. So if you suffered from an illness of that part of the body, you took this plant and it cured you.
Right, right.
So where does gypsywort come in?
Well, gypsywort, it's interesting that in the book, for every plant that we describe, we have added what we call an anecdote beneath the main photograph of the plant in its habitat. And this gives anecdotal information on occasions about the plant. And I've just opened a book on gypsywort.
Right.
And if I may, I'll read what we've said in relation to it. So this species is a colonist of exposed mud and shallow standing waters. It has a number of traditional medicinal uses, and its English name derives from the fact that the sap was used as a dye by gypsies to darken their skin.
That's an incredible story. It's one gypsywort. I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
There are also some iconic species that you'd get along a river or, say, a canal. I'd be more familiar with a canal. The likes of meadowsweet, purple loosestrife. They're just plants that everybody knows.
Yes. I would agree with you. Everybody knows them. And yet, most people, they might be able to say, yes, that's meadowsweet, but they know very little about them. And it's through no fault of their own. And again, the purpose of this book and the way it was written for specialists, yes, but also for non-specialists, which is why we have the anecdotes. But also, if you open up any of the 400 species, you will see we have information on the distribution. So we have
a little map.
Mm. But then we also have some very useful ecological facts. And we've minimised these. The text has been minimised to bullet points. Because, as I say, if it's for the non-specialists, we don't want to bore them. So we want to give nuggets of information very, very quickly. We also say what the plants could be easily confused with, because while meadowsweet can't be really confused with many other plants, lots of the other species have plants that are similar to them. And then where we're looking at meadowsweet, we show the plant in its natural habitat, but then we show the diagnostic features. So we have four photographs that show why this is a meadowsweet and not any other species.
So who is the book geared towards?
It's geared towards the specialist who will enjoy the book, I think, because there are very few books like this available, certainly in Ireland, but also, I would think, in Europe. But we were very conscious of the need for a guide like this for non-specialists. People who love to walk along the River Talca. We've seen plenty of people here, as we're standing here, walking, looking into the river. And what I'd like to see is them walking with the book now and looking at the plant.
And of course, they don't have to bring the book with them down here to the river, because the quality of the photographs are so good in the book that you can just take out your phone, take some photographs, then go home and you can see the plant in the book.
Absolutely. I would fully agree with you. However, if you have the book with you, mm-hmm. it allows you check part of the book for every species we have, not to be confused with, because there are plenty of species that can be confused. Mm-hmm. So it can help. Also, when we got the book published, we spoke to the publishers, who were tremendously helpful, a group called Thinkprint, and we asked specifically that it be bound so that it could be opened fully. And even if there was a sprinkle of rain, that it has the shiny surface, that it should run off.
There's one location that should have a copy of this book, and it's every secondary school library in the country. It would be ideal for biology students for field trips. Take your book out with you when you're going out. The schools, I think, would make great use of this book, Joe.
I think that's a very, very interesting idea. And I have to say, Terry, it's one I hadn't thought of. I would agree with you. I've shown this book to quite a lot of people who aren't botanists, and many of them have been fascinated by it. So I think for people studying biology, this could be of great assistance. And thank you for the idea.
Probably the best thing we can do now is go for a little walk. Let's use the book. Let's see, can we learn something? See, can I learn
great,
something? I know
great.
You know it all, but
I hope it works.
Thank you very much indeed, Terry and Joe Caffrey. And the details of Joe's book can be found on our website, rte.ie/